live from the Deerwood Golf Course in North Tonawanda, New York, where the Sabres are currently setting up tee times.
Oh, my God. Yes, they
it's
are.
It's shenanigans.
Oh.
This week we have Matt.
Hello.
And Walden, who doesn't say anything. That's a sign language hello.
At least, hey!
At least I think that's a hello. Most hellos have more than one finger, though. And Rich.
What's up, fuckers?
And Vinny.
Hi.
I'm Craig. Yeah, the Sabres, oh, it's just been terrible. I don't know what the hell happened.
Are they still by definition a hockey team?
Yes. They're about to be relegated.
However, they have never lost to a Zamboni driver.
I can claim that, yes. That is true.
It was bound to happen eventually.
Right. I'm so glad it happened to the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Yeah, fuck the Leafs.
In other news, about a week ago, the Buffalo Bills signed, what was his name, Josh?
Josh Norman.
Josh Norman.
Cornerback. Former Panther. Most recently of the Redskins.
He had a terrible year in Washington, though.
He did have a bad year, but they've got the cap room. It's a
$6 million for 1 year.
Right. It's a boomer bust move.
He's got, well, you know what? And
okay, boomer.
Both those guys, Bean and McDermott, are obsessed with anything Carolina Panthers.
Right.
So I wouldn't be surprised if Cam Newton's our new backup.
Right.
I will officially disavow the Buffalo Bills at that point.
He doesn't like androgynous quarterbacks, apparently.
You know, Cam Newton had a Play 60 commercial where the little kid was going, so if I practice every day, I can play in the NFL like you? Yes. And I can win the Heisman like you? And yes. And I can take your starting job? Wait, what? It was perfect. I loved it.
Yep. It's only a matter of time before somebody does it.
I think it just happened.
Yeah, it may have already happened.
I'm still watching that thing from last week, fall. It's been a full week, and it's still not ending.
He has not slept a wink.
Nope, it's still falling.
You must be exhausted.
Uh-huh.
Wait till you get to the end, though. It's amazing.
Okay. We've said on the show before that there is Rule 34 of the internet. Rich, explain Rule 34 real quick. A recap.
If you can think of it, there's porn of it. No exceptions.
Coronavirus porn.
It's a thing.
Have you ever seen it?
No, but there's an article about it.
Tell us a little bit about it.
Well, it's porn about coronavirus, which apparently is still a thing.
All these weeks later.
God, they still split on it.
No, it's pretty decisive. It's bad. It seems the world's gone crazy with panic over the coronavirus as people have been stocking up on toilet paper and supplies like they're preparing for the apocalypse or something. But it seems like hoarding a year's worth of toilet paper is just the tip of the iceberg as all this panic has resulted in the birth of an unexpected thing, coronavirus porn.
Just the tip.
Just the tip of the iceberg. The other 11 years are in the basement.
Now, this isn't the first time coronavirus and porn have crossed paths. Those who were stuck on the Diamond Princess were given all the free adult entertainment that they could want in order to alleviate the boredom and pent-up stress. But this is the first time in which porn has been created as a result of the disease.
That cruise ship that was sailing around the world and couldn't find a port?
Yes.
They were finding their own ports.
That's right.
The Lost Boat. What did you do on the Lido deck?
Soon you'll be having another rub.
It's the libido deck now.
Any port in the storm.
I don't know about that.
One just has to search up coronavirus over at Pornhub and they'll be inundated with 123 videos at the time of writing of hot coronavirus porn action, which includes titillating titles such as Victim Not Allowed to Leave Gets More Than He Bargained For and TSA Agent Detains Woman Suspected of Coronavirus.
Now, 123 videos with a fast forward feature that's like 5 or 6 minutes.
Which is twice as long as you need.
Oh. Maybe for you.
I said you. For those curious at what this sort of content involves, it's pretty much what you'd expect. There's people in hazmat suits trying to bone.
I've been in a hazmat suit. That would be difficult. I'm pretty sure Vinny has also.
I'm a certified hazmat technician. Yes.
Now, that also is the title of one of the videos.
Very, 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 very sweaty.
I'm a certified hazmat technician, and I am here to help.
I'm here to clean up your hazardous materials.
I can't pay for you to clean up my hazardous materials.
Brown chicken, brown cow.
Hey, baby, take off that SCBA.
Oh, your jargon is huge.
Hold on while I pull on my PPE.
What is that? My personal protective equipment.
All 5.15 inches of them.
In this case, I'll be double bagging the PPE. Because you look nasty. That is not a shave bump.
He's dead.
It's truly amazing how this whole coronavirus porn thing proves how powerful Rule 34 of the internet is. But you know what? We shouldn't be too surprised, though, and it's not because horniness transcends any global health crisis. The coronavirus outbreak is terrifying thing, and sometimes we need a bit of levity and escapism to help the scary truth go down easier.
I tried to prove your Rule 34 wrong one time on the show by saying Hillary Clinton.
No, that one's too obvious.
Nina Hartley played Hillary Clinton in a video.
Yes, she did.
Isn't she like 80?
No. Everyone else who's been in it is dead. They suicided.
They suicided.
They shot themselves in the back of the head. Twice.
Vince first, lost her porn.
First, but first, they shot her in the face.
Oh. Now she can wear that nice pearl necklace with her pantsuits. Dude, I would rather gouge my fucking eyeballs out. I wouldn't fuck her with your dick, with you pushing and you coaching. That shit ain't happening.
I'd give her a toss.
Yeah, right off the fucking cliff.
She'd push back.
Damn, I can't win with this broad.
Oh, God.
Give her a push.
Speaking of pigs, firefighters in North Yorkshire have tackled a blaze that broke out after a pig swallowed a pedometer, which then combusted in its pen after excretion.
I want to know what happened to the rest of the jogger.
We don't talk about that, Craig.
You like banjo music? The fire crews were called to a blaze covering 75 meters at four pig pens in Braham near Leeds on Saturday afternoon.
Who burned more territory, the pig or the mountain climber? From 2 weeks ago.
Well, what good would a pedometer be to a mountain climber?
I don't know.
Does it count steps up?
Yeah, flights of stairs.
Yeah, flights.
Wow, you have 47,000 flights of stairs.
The fire and rescue service said the fire was caused by nature taking its course and copper from the pedometer battery reacting with dry hay and the pig pen's contents. So, for you Boy Scouts listening, stop that. But but for everybody else, you can actually start a battery fire
with Dookie.
With Dookie.
And your pedometer.
Yes, Boy Scouts should not be listening.
No, they should not.
The pedometer was being used to prove the animal was free range and had been taken off one of its fellow pigs.
Oh.
No animals were harmed as a result of the fire. And one of the firemen said, it was posted on social media, and he said, it should be an oink, not a tweet.
A hose reel was used to extinguish the fire and save the bacon.
Thank God.
That was just campy. I wasn't going to read that line.
Okay, whatever.
In other breaking news...
Oh, my God. This is the dumbest fucking article ever.
It's three fucking sentences.
The build-up, guys. The build-up. In other breaking news, the Pennsylvania State Police and Clarion were called to Union School District on Baker Street on Friday for reports of a stolen juice box. They found that a known juvenile had stolen a juice box from the school cafeteria worth 80 cents. No word on if it was returned. That's an actual fucking news article on CBSLocal.com.
In Rimmersburg.
Wonder what he was trading that juice box for.
You gotta squirt it on there first.
Hey,
I prefer syrup.
Hey, Sally, come on over here.
Oh, it's fucking...
Way too specific.
Who knew that a Mott's apple juice box would get you in that much shit? And here's the key word. It was a known juvenile. Not the first time this juvenile has done something like this before.
They didn't say juvenile delinquent. It said juvenile. So
it said
someone
known
under...
juvenile.
Right.
Yo, Spike, I got the Mott's.
Oh, my God.
So they know what kid took it.
Dude, I got Mott's for tots. 80 cents right here.
It fell off a truck.
Fall out of a wagon.
With all my cell phones.
Right. Call back.
You find my Folexes with that, you let me know. Never mind.
Speaking of stories involving kids, there's a new Michael Jackson musical.
Oh, come on.
Really?
There's a new Michael Jackson musical told from the perspective of his glove.
That's just fucked up.
Wait, what?
For me, that's fucked up.
Okay, I don't think I can bring this article up.
That's okay. I'll just read it to you.
Are you afraid the government's going to catch on?
No.
I'm afraid what might happen to me if I read this fucking article.
What's creepier in the picture, the glove or the fucking guy?
The first picture?
It's got to be the glove.
Just wait. Scroll down.
Come on.
But wait, there's more.
Is that Willie Tyler and Lester?
Oh my God. Oh my God. Throwback right there.
Willie Tyler and Lester.
I feel like I'm at the VFW Christmas party.
No, that guy's name was Bird. Was
Bird, yeah.
Bird.
Something Bird.
Kenny.
Kenny Bird. That's probably right.
It is.
It was supposed to be a run-of-the-mill TV biopic. At least that's what a cable TV network was looking for when they asked writer and director Julian Nitzberg for a movie about Michael Jackson. That was 15 years ago, before the King of Pop's death, but after his 2005 child molestation trial ended in an acquittal. I didn't know how you could make a sympathetic character with all the bizarre things he does, says Nitzberg, including sleepovers with kids. And I said to the network, how are we going to address this? And they didn't really know how to. He came up with a less straightforward way of telling the story. All the most bizarre parts of Michael Jackson's life are caused because an alien came to Earth and trades giving him talent in exchange for feeding on his blood.
Okay, so L. Ron Hubbard has written this.
Right. It's Jacksonetics.
Just wait, Tom Cruise.
That's right.
I was in Barnes & Noble the other day, and there was, I forget the name of the book, but it was L. Ron Hubbard, and I was like, that's the same dude that...
He wrote fantastic science fiction novels, which were turned into horrific movies, but then he
and
wrote...
And religions.
Well, Dianetics was his...
Also science fiction, yes.
Yeah.
People haven't picked up on that yet, but apparently, yeah. The network wasn't interested, but the idea has now come to life, thank God, as an unauthorized musical called For the Love of a Glove.
The Love Glove.
It's got a mouth.
So they basically took the little hamburger helper glove,
yeah, exactly,
and made him... sparkly in glitter. So now he's a real vampire.
Well, he sucks. It imagines an alternate history where Michael Jackson meets a sparkly silver glove from outer space who, yes, gives Michael his talents in exchange for blood. Specifically, virgin blood. Oh, man.
I'm not liking the way this is going.
I am so done with this article.
This is a bad path.
The puppet looks like he's got a blown pupil.
He's into strangulation.
Is that a teacher joke?
What do you mean by what pupil are you talking about?
It's an old paramedic thing.
Well, it is Michael Jackson's glove. What follows next is a raunchy, surreal, and absurd run through documented history of Jackson's history. The first act focuses on young Michael just getting started with the Jackson 5 and digs into the abusive family dynamics. The white competition ripping them off, the powers controlling him. Denise Thomas saw the play and wrote about it for the Compton Herald. She grew up a fan of Michael Jackson. I'm living in that world at that time, and I didn't even realize what was going on, she says. This article is way too fucking long. We talked about all the funny stuff.
So we can move on?
Yeah, we're moving on.
Sweet!
Moving on.
So what we basically got out of that was L. Ron Hubbard has written a musical
from beyond the grave.
From the perspective of Michael Jackson's glove.
Ghostwritten by
Tom Cruise.
It's going to spawn it. It's going to spawn
starring
a new
John Travolta
and Corey Feldman.
Corey Feldman is a Scientologist too?
No, but he's
that would explain a lot.
It wouldn't at all surprise me.
No, he's fixing to drop a movie. No, fixing to drop a documentary and name all his like abusers.
Yeah.
From him being like sexually abused, like it's a big thing apparently coming up. Yeah. I don't know.
It's going to call it Wikipedia.
I don't know. Old fucking Nasty Harvey's. He's pretty much done. He gets sentenced in
what,
2 days.
He got injured in a jailhouse accident after they put him in Gen Pop. That was just in the news today.
Yeah, now he's in a. He's got an entire floor by himself.
He didn't other day.
He can certainly afford
it. He got hurt.
Yeah. They can't put his big old tubby ass in Gen Pop.
No.
Somebody's going to shank him.
Well, he shared a cell with two other elderly men, according to the article, and he slipped and fell and required medical attention. So I don't know what
happened.
Right. Yeah.
They just wanted his toothbrush.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Nothing. I'm just waiting for the next thing.
Oh, please.
Wanted his toothbrush. So they could sharpen it and stab him with it.
I wasn't going to go there, but...
So a little bit of history here. We've talked about Paul Revere's outhouse. One by sea, two by air. That was still funny. Why was Benjamin Franklin's basement filled with skeletons? Repairs on Franklin's old London house turned up 1,200 pieces of bone from at least 15 people.
Did he ever conduct autopsies?
That's what I'm wondering.
Well, let's read the article.
For nearly two decades leading up to the signing of the Declaration of Independence, Benjamin Franklin lived in London in a house on Craven Street in 17... yeah, West Craven Street in 1776. Not even a...
Why are you looking at me?
I don't know what you're waiting for to drop.
I was waiting for
a Craven Cox joke or something.
No,
like
I was saying West Craven.
West Craven
is a horror story.
You're what now?
You did it again.
Better not get looped, God damn it.
Oh, it won't. We promise.
We would never. Speaking of which, before we get any, what did you think of your loop?
It was awesome.
it was pretty fucking great.
It was.
He's like, how do you guys not know?
My wife goes, she was sitting in the living room when I was putting it together. She goes, what the hell are you doing? So I'm trying to make a loop for Matt. Well, did he say that? I go, yeah, just not all at once. But it sounds like he did. Maybe he did.
That's the point of the loop.
Right. In 1776, Franklin left his English home to come back to America. More than 200 years later, 15 bodies were found in the basement, buried in a secret windowless room beneath the garden. In 1998, conservationists were doing repairs on the house, looking to turn Franklin's old haunt into a museum. From a 1 meter wide, 1 meter deep pit, over 1,200 pieces of bone were retrieved, remnants of more than a dozen bodies. Six were children. Forensic investigations show that the bones dated to Franklin's day. Now, Benjamin Franklin was a ladies' man.
Right.
Even into his 80s, he was knocking boots.
Well, he was an inventor, a scientist, a patriot.
Cox pimp.
He was a member of the Hellfire Club, which was like a notorious like underground society.
Wasn't that at Harvard or something?
No, that's Skull and Bones.
Oh, Skull and Bones, yeah, you're right.
At Yale. Hellfire Club is like they're satanic and...
Really?
All kinds of like orgies and all that kind of shit.
Like the Bohemian Club out in San Francisco.
Wherever you've been, right. I'm not judging you.
He started the Illuminati and the Freemasons.
It actually talks about that next. Franklin was a noted revolutionary and a powerful Mason. Shazam! Sorry.
You're fine.
Stop giving away the secrets.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So he was the Grand Master of Masons for Pennsylvania. So he was the guy who was the elected Masonic leader for the state.
And of course the media, you know, gloms on to the Nick Cage movie that the Freemasons were this evil background thing.
I love the fucking Nick Cage movie. I thought it was fantastic.
There's a fourth one coming out.
You mean a third?
Isn't there already three?
No, there's only two.
Okay, well, there's the next one coming out.
Good. They need the third one to come out because I want him to look into the shit the president said. You know, page whatever for the Book of Secrets if you've never...
This is the one where they finally destroy the Statue of Liberty.
They're going to Mount Rushmore. There's a room. It's exciting.
Yeah, it's up Lincoln's nose. Everybody knows that.
It's not up the nose, but yeah, whatever.
The most plausible explanation is not mass murder, but an anatomy school run by Benjamin Franklin's young friend and protege, William Hewson.
Right.
His young friend, you say?
Sure. Yeah.
In Franklin's time, anatomy lessons were a dark, ethically ambiguous business. Anatomy was still in its infancy, but the day's social and ethical mores frowned upon it. A steady supply of human bodies was hard to come by legally, so Hewson, Hunter, and the field's other pioneers had to turn to grave robbing.
Yeah, there's a lore episode about it.
There was grave robbery happening in Lockport. Mm-hmm. There was a body
last Tuesday.
Well, even worse, there was a doctor who was at the was downtown, and he needed fresh bodies to be able to teach his students because he was a there was an apprenticeship going on. So somebody died. They went that evening that the person was buried, dug him up, took him back to the office. Someone from the family found out, and the family showed up to get the body back, and the doctor was talking to the family members while his partners in crime went out the back door and took the body back and dumped it over the wall at Cold Springs. It was at Cold Springs Cemetery.
Oh.
But while the doctor was talking to the family, he was backing up slowly up the sidewalk to get farther away from his building so it was less likely that they would see the other people leave. It was a great story. There's a whole write-up on it in the newspaper from like mid-19th century. It's pretty wild.
Huh. That's messed up.
So Franklin was probably aware of these illegal activities going on in his building, but he probably didn't care, and he probably wasn't involved himself. Still, we can't imagine that, the curious man that he was, he didn't sneak down and check out the proceedings at least once or twice, which is probably true. He was a scientist.
Yeah. Sounds smelly.
Not as cool as Paul Revere's outhouse, but still pretty interesting that 200 and some years later that things that Franklin did at his house are still just being uncovered.
They find his kite in there?
No.
No?
It's electric.
Oh, dear God. So, apparently, we got some schools with some funky names going on.
That's like the president of that, or China, or whatever the heck it was, in one of those countries, Mr. Shithead.
Mr. Shithead.
Yeah. So, a South Korean elementary school whose name means shit has decided to adopt a more fragrant moniker, school officials said on Friday. So, many Korean names and words are based on Chinese characters, so when rendered in the Hangul alphabet, they have the same spelling but multiple meanings. The unfortunate consequence for the Daebyeon Elementary School in Busan is that human feces are the first thing that come to mind when Koreans hear its name. Are you from the poop school? Was a typical taunt students and former pupils have endured for 55 years. They have mounted a campaign to change the name, gathering more than 4,000 signatures since April. We want to have a pretty school name, read a banner put up on the school wall by the students and their parents. A school committee will choose a name among three options next week and submit a request to local authorities to change the name. One of them, Haeparang or Sea Waves, would flush away the stench of the past, while the other two are geographically based. So it was founded in 63, which has 77 students. Was
pronounce
named after,
all that.
Was named after a village called Daebyeon-ri, a shortening of the nearby...
go ahead.
Daedong-go-byeon-pu.
Daedong-go-byeongpyo port, or Daedong Warehouse Coast. Kyungyang Simhum, or Sinmum Daily, said other schools also have embarrassing homographs, including Jungja, sperm, Jungwang, seminal duct,
the fetus,
and Yadong, pornography, and Mulgung, prick. None of the four said they were considering changing their names. Absolutely not.
That's the that would that's be the Florida State Jungwang.
Florida State seminal. I thought it was pretty funny when he said Florida State seminal vesicles. But you guys didn't laugh.
It's been a long time since I've... Well, it's been, what, 16 years since I lived in Korea, so...
I can't believe nobody named a school clitoris or labia.
At least give them something educational, right?
Yeah. Exactly.
Why would they accept that name in the first place? Did they not speak Chinese when the thing was named?
They were like the Americans getting Chinese characters tattooed on their body.
French toast.
This is a good one. Put it on your school.
See, you can't name a school clitoris because much like the characters in South Park, they'd still be looking for it. So they wouldn't ever get an education.
This foreign exchange program sucks.
literally. Speaking of foreign exchange, you need a passport to go to certain parts of the United States, Louisiana being one of them. I can say that because I lived there for 8 years while I was in the Army. Louisiana driver with license plate that expired in 97 told police, "I've been busy lately and totally forgot." So this happened in Slidell, and a driver was recently pulled over. Must have been busy for a few decades that he forgot to renew his license plate more than 20 years. "We can't make this stuff up," the department captioned a photo of the expired plate. "At least give us a good challenge." End of article.
It took you 23 years to catch the fucker. Yeah. The sticker was right there.
You'd never get away with that here. That fucker expires in 3 minutes and they're right on your ass.
Oh, yeah, but here's the thing, though. Like, if you've ever been to, like, Slidell or anywhere down in Louisiana, there's a lot of woods and forest. And so when the sun is beaming down through the trees and stuff, you get that light shadow, light shadow, light shadow thing. You're never going to read that unless you get right up on him. I'm just saying. And they got bigger fish to fry down there, too. Like, people dumping dead bodies in the rivers for the gators and stuff.
I would say alligators are a problem down there.
Oh, dude, they're all over the place down there.
Yeah, literally within minutes of that expiring, they're pulling you over.
Right,
so,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
Apparently, we've got us a new cure for coronavirus here. Masturbation boosts your immune
system. I'm immune!
Helping you fight off infection and illness, and apparently one of us at these tables will not die from coronavirus.
I'm going to live forever.
And you're lying if you say you don't.
Hand check.
My hands were already above the table.
Well, you got to check the plumbing every once in a while.
That's right.
So, orgasms help minimize pain and promote relaxation, which can help boost your immune system. Achieving orgasm through masturbation provides a rush of feel-good hormones such as dopamine, serotonin, and oxytocin, and can rebalance our levels of cortisol, a stress-inducing hormone. This helps your immune system function at a higher level. The surge in feel-good hormones also promotes a more relaxed and calm state of being, which makes it easier to achieve restful sleep, which is a critical part in maintaining a high-functioning immune system. So it's probably why Matt falls asleep after he rubs one out, and I fall asleep right after having relations with the wife. Just as bad
if you
habits
don't love yourself, nobody else will.
So just as bad habits can slow your immune system, positive habits such as healthy sleep schedule and an active sex life can help boost your immune system, which can prevent you from becoming sick. Okay.
I'm sorry, aren't these effects doubled by a blowjob?
Yes.
At a minimum.
So apparently the orgasm is a very common human phenomenon. Its physical and mental health benefits have been researched. So the amount of speculation versus actual data on both the function and value of orgasm is remarkable, says this lady at the Kinsey Institute for Research in Sex, Gender,
God
and
bless
Reproduction.
Her.
Have you ever watched that movie, Kinsey?
Kinsey?
I have not.
It's
Liam Neeson, right?
Interesting. They're sitting at the...
I think I did see that.
Liam Neeson and his wife, I think it's Laura Linney in that movie.
Yeah.
And they're talking to their own sex therapist, and she was saying that sometimes it's difficult because he's rather well endowed. And the doctor goes, "Well, is he this long?" And she kind of shakes her head, and he pulls his hand out and keeps going farther. That's about it. And the guy just looks at his hands and puts them right down like... No wonder.
I'd research sex a lot if I had a big dong, too.
Actually, you think
that's why I don't research sex.
You would think it would be hard if you were hung like a Pringles can. I mean, like, how are you going to get that in?
Have you watched Brockmire?
Brockmire.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because the guy who's dying, who's the...
Oh, yeah.
He's like, "I bet you wish that you had a dong like this, right?" "No, you don't."
Yep. Scares them all away. Yeah.
Every time I get a hard on, I pass.
Yeah, it's a good problem to have, I've heard.
Totally.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Well, you got four Irish guys and an English guy here. We're not high on the scale.
For what?
Five and one.
Melatonin.
That too.
Melatonin. Hey, I tried to be dark, damn it. I got freckles. And just couldn't get them all to come together.
She's going to blur them together.
I got to shake my arm really fast.
That's how that works.
Back to the masturbation topic.
Uh-oh, Don Postle's talking about...
In other news on masturbation... Here's the weather.
Should have had you do the juice box story.
It was good and short. Yeah, it could have worked. Yeah.
According to BDSM and fetish researcher, an orgasm is the biggest non-drug induced blast of dopamine that we can experience.
I'll you said her. Blast.
By boosting the oxytocin and dopamine levels and subsequently decreasing our cortisol levels, the brain is placed in a more relaxed, euphoric, and calm state. This is a long article, dude.
That's why I stopped reading, because I read all the good shit. I'm like, yep. That-
I'll shorten it up for you. Go bang one out, everybody.
So have a rub better. And tug, and you'll be okay.
Or better yet, get a Hummer.
Check your stupid nuts for lumps. Dr. Steve says that.
Look, you got to check every now and then to make sure that your coronal meatus is not obstructed.
Yeah, blow out the pipes.
I just think, was it the scary movie?
When he blasted to the wheel.
Oh, my God. Or when he pulled off her drawers and it was like, doing, and the bush popped up and he's there with a chainsaw.
Topiary.
It's an elephant.
In other news, the Australian police would like to remind you that Lazy Boy recliners do not count as car seats.
They certainly do.
No, according to them, they don't.
Not in Australia.
Police in Australia found themselves confused and probably amazed after encountering a van outfitted with two Lazy Boy recliners as back seats. Westgate Highway Police patrol officers were notified of a nearby unregistered vehicle by their patrol car's onboard license plate reader. Once authorities executed a stop on the vehicle, and after a quick chat with the driver, they noticed something odd in the back seat of the van. Upon opening the rear door, officers found a 6-year-old boy seated in one of two Lazy Boy recliners, which the vehicle owner purchased and installed in place of the van's factory rear seats. The armchairs weren't free-floating either, as the installation included affixing an alloy block to the seats in order to mate with the factory mounting hardware. Haha, I said mounting.
They're car seats.
They were bolted right in.
Right.
Works for me.
You can also spot in the photographs on Facebook a seatbelt latch, which appears to be fastened to the Lazy Boy. The driver was issued 3 citations, one for unregistered vehicle, one for breaching the standards of the vehicle registration with an unsafe modification, and another for an unrestrained passenger. See, to your point, they're not unrestrained. They're bolted down and seatbelted.
Correct.
It's just in a Lazy Boy. Police explained that although the owner had gone through great lengths to install the suite-worthy seats in the vehicle, the modifications were not approved for road use, especially for carrying around children. In Australia's mainland, vehicles outfitted with certain modifications need to be certified that any aftermarket changes comply with the state's registration standards, something which typical household recliners do not. So it's a typical nanny state over there, and even the minivans are trying to kill you.
Everything tries to kill you in Australia.
Come a long way from the 70s, though, because I remember having a van. They had a fucking couch in the back, and that was how the back. That's what the back seat was.
Yep.
Yeah,
yeah. That's what a station wagon was. It was 3 couches.
Right.
One facing the back way, yeah. So if you hit something, everybody would fly out the back.
That's if you paid for that option.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure my dad had a van that had the passenger seat and the driver's seat, and there was nothing in the back, but he had kids, so he affixed a couch or some kind of seat in the back for us to sit on. There were fuck seat belts.
Ours weren't even affixed. They were the red
they
wood
slide if
patio
you took
chairs.
Off your vest.
Fuck yeah.
Optional seat belts.
Did you ever ride in the bed of a truck?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, I'm from Texas. Yes.
We all have here, too.
On the way home from my bachelor party. Standing.
Dude, I... Holy fuck. From where to where?
Rich Corners.
To your house.
To my house in Lockport.
On Lock Street?
My old house. Okay. Well, not my parents' house. Okay. My old house.
All right. I had my bachelor party at my father-in-law's house, and what do you call it? I know I got there, and I know I got home. I have no fucking clue how I got home, but my car was in the driveway, and they assured me that nobody drove me. But I have no recollection whatsoever of driving home.
You had
a good time. That was bad.
You had a dangerously good time.
Yes.
I never had a
bachelor party. So Wendy made
tremendous fun of me because I was sick as a dog the next day. Like, I didn't get out of bed till 3 or 4 in the afternoon. And in those days, you know, you're 22, 23. You recover fairly quickly. Right. So 2 or 3 in the afternoon and still being sick, it was a bad night.
It was a real bad night.
So she was all over my case. The next weekend was her bachelorette party. Fucking all day Sunday, she was out, man. So, like, ha, ha, ha. I'm banging pans because she decided to do dishes while I'm, you know, got this hangover. So, like, oh. The dishes were all done. I didn't care. Just taking pans in and out of the cupboard.
Happy New Year, yelled.
Yeah, that was the only time we actually ever got into a real bad argument. She didn't like the way I was doing dishes. One time we lived on the second floor at a house, and she thought, I'm left-handed, so everything's backwards to what she was doing, and I was doing it this way. She goes, there's not enough room to do it over there. I said, I'm washing and drying dishes. I don't see why it matters. She kept on me. We had just moved in together, so we hadn't learned our parameters yet. So I opened up the window, threw the whole dishpan right out the window. Water, dishes, and all. And we still got married.
Miracles do happen.
Yes.
She's a very tolerant woman, your Yoko.
Oh, yes. I am hell on wheels. Or I was. Not as much anymore. The 20s were a fuzzy blur.
Yeah, definitely.
It's before all that razor technology.
Right.
Women started, you know, taking care of it down there. It's a fuzzy blur.
Yeah, I'm with you. Like, now it takes like 2, sometimes 3 days to recover. If you go out and tie one on, like, it's... You can't get bad. Just can't do it like you used to anymore.
My tolerance is definitely down after I quit going out after every hockey game, 3 or 4 nights a week. Yeah, I don't have the same tolerance I used to.
Dude, I'm at the point now where I can lick a beer and smell a shot, and I'm good.
Well, I still have a couple fingers of bourbon every night, so it's good for me.
It's weird, though. Like, if I'm going to, like, have a beer or two at the house, like, say, with dinner, it's like, oh, my God, I feel like I'm 3 sheets to the wind. But if I'm going to, like, drink with, you know, my friends and stuff, it's like, woo, this bottle of vodka ain't shit. You know, like, your body just knows, right? I don't know.
You got a couple near beers left in the studio fridge.
Oh, no. I might one of these days.
We have 3 weeks left before we have to go back to our summer studio, so.
Okay, yeah, well.
Well, I can stick in the summer studio refrigerator.
That's fine. Isn't the Almagang smoked porter, is that a winter?
That's a summer only.
Okay, good, because... Get some of that.
I'm going to get the Almagang flu because it gives you a natural, what do you call it, a vaccine against coronavirus.
So you're going to have the Almagang vaccine?
Yeah.
Immunity.
Yeah, I'll have immunity thanks to Almagang. Almagang out of Cooperstown, New York.
Send us beer.
Three philosophers. We really, 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 really like Three Philosophers. It's also like 9.7%, but right. No.
You only need a couple of those.
Right. You ever talk to somebody who works in a nursing home? Holy fuck.
Yeah, they're just fucking.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's crazy.
Dude, what do they do? Make Afghans. Fuck.
Fuck play bridge. Afghans.
Play bridge.
I'm sorry, I stepped away. Are you guys talking about Rule 34 again?
Stick your toes through the Afghan.
Stick more in toes through there.
Oh. Keep your eyes closed.
It's the hole in the sheet.
Holy sheets.
All right, so what's happening in Canada Watch this week?
Oh, something better than that, I'm sure.
Something better than Afghans and old people sex.
Canada Watch.
If your listening pleasure is Canada Watch.
Smell like pine trees in moose piss.
Canada Watch. Your furry hat matches your furry underpants. It's a design flaw, or you need a trim?
Canada Watch.
Do you smell like beaver dams and old toes?
Canada Watch.
Your uncle looks suspiciously like an elk.
Canada Watch.
Sure does get lonely up there in the Yukon.
Canada Watch. We have the polar bears and the milk in the bag, y'all. Canada Watch.
Hey, Gord. We still like you, though.
Canada Watch.
A British Columbia grandfather is questioning when it's appropriate to offer cannabis prizes in raffles after his 8-year-old grandson bid on and won a stash of $200 worth of pot products at a local youth hockey tournament. He said his grandson plays novice hockey with other children ages 7 and 8 at
Dawson Creek.
Oh, I wasn't going to read it.
He's never going to progress past novice hockey with all that weed.
No. Or you know what?
Or he's going to buy his way up.
Yeah, exactly. He can sell it, and he's got next year's tuition taken care of.
But at a tournament over a long weekend, over the weekend, a longtime tradition of fundraising took a turn. Each team is usually responsible for putting a gift basket or prize package together with a minimum value of $50, he said. And then what they do is they have a big setup and they have a paper bag taped in front of each of these prizes. He said that the prizes had always been geared towards kids or families in the past, including things such as tickets to the movies, card games, or family board games, or snacks like popcorn and candy. He said that his son, who had taken his grandson to the tournament, spent $10 on raffle tickets and gave them to the 8-year-old to bid on whichever prizes he liked. When it came to the prize pack that the grandson eventually won, all he saw was chocolate and chocolate fondue, and he put a ticket in his bag.
Atta These boy. Brownies are awesome.
And then at the end of the tournament, the family was notified that he had won one prize, and the prize was $200 worth of pot. The child's father was the one who picked up the prize after receiving the call informing him of the win. He then sent photos of the haul to the grandfather. The pictures show various chocolate edibles, vanilla chai, and other pot products, all stamped with red octagonal THC symbol of legal cannabis. There was also what appeared to be a pipe and a lighter included.
So you can smoke your chocolate.
Somebody put together a good basket.
Yeah. I kind of wish I had put in a ticket. The $200 estimate comes from the advertising on the bag, he said.
It was in conjunction with ketchup chips and Funyuns, but...
You had to win the other basket, too.
Yes.
He
Daddy,
said
I want this basket of Aero Bars, eh? Shorzy saying, Daddy.
Oh, those aren't Aero Bars.
Give your balls a tug.
He said that when he had to explain to his grandson that the prize contained drugs and that he therefore couldn't have any of it, he was mad. My grandson thought he'd won a great prize. He said, Dad, I want chocolate. No, son, there's bad drugs in the chocolate. How do you explain that to a kid?
I'm going to use that one at Halloween.
There you go.
There's bad drugs in this, kids. You can't have it.
These chocolates are Canadian.
I think the dad or the grandfather screwed up here. The way he should have said was, let me hold on to that for you, and I'll give you a new candy bar.
What he should have done was shut the fuck up and not told the kid he won the prize.
Right.
Sorry, Gord, you lost again.
Sorry, Gord.
Just like you lost an attorney.
Because you don't keep moving your feet.
Shoot the puck, eh?
Shoot! Shoot!
The hockey league said that the prize was clearly marked for adults and that cannabis was never out in the open where the kids were.
Except for that one basket.
Against the number of prizes donated was a basket of cannabis products. The products did not appear on the donation table, only a photo and a list of items contained in the basket. The raffle winner was told the basket contained cannabis products and was given the option of not accepting the prize, they said. The winner chose to take the prize. Their identification was checked to ensure they were of legal age, 19 plus, and the donor was then delivered the basket to the winners. And the donor then delivered the basket to the winners.
Hey, Gord, what happened to that weed basket? Oh, I don't know.
I already finished it, eh?
It was right here.
That explanation was not good enough for the grandfather, who called the situation ludicrous. He said that while drugs should never be at any sporting event, it was even more upsetting to have them available as a prize at an event geared at children. Blah, 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 Canada, Canada, Canada.
It was gearing children.
Now, I have to do a basket. My son's baseball team does what they call a mom prom. So, as a fundraiser, so all the parents have to put together
that's hot
a gift basket geared toward women. Now, I'm thinking, I throw a basket together, put a couple, you know, dildos in it, batteries, assorted lubes. It'll either be the most important, popular basket there, or I'll never get asked to make another one.
No, you want
to win.
Or both.
Right. You won't even tell them, they won't even know that it was you. They'll go, look what the fuck Matt did.
anonymous donation, my right. ass.
Oh, no, it, also in the basket was a pair of his underwear with his name stitched in it.
And his phone number.
You guys don't have underwear like that?
I didn't put it in a gift basket.
Why else would you monogram him like that, then?
Because my name's Calvin Klein.
It's on your underwear.
I'm thinking that would be so popular at that basket raffle, it would single-handedly pay for the trip to Myrtle Beach for the
Maybe.
Boys.
Maybe.
Throw in a couple chocolate anuses.
An SD Adam card for the video camera.
Homemade chocolate anuses.
My email address.
This is how you can upload the video to my cloud.
Right.
Anyway, that's what's happening in Canada this week.
Do you have a website for us this week?
I do.
Your stupid one from last week is still going, still falling.
What?
It's been a full week, and it's still falling.
Wait till you get to the end. It's amazing.
We get to the end, and you get to that huge vagina website.
So now, I was going to do this one a few weeks ago, but Walden wasn't here.
Okay.
So previously, we've done this person does not exist.
I don't want to look.
And then...
It's a big surprise.
That was like a website that just generated...
Faces and you had to guess, and that was like a week for me.
Yeah,
like a full week at work.
Well, this week's website is thisfootdoesnotexist.com.
What? All right, this falls into one of my fetishes.
That's way there more than I needed to know about you.
There is a phone number, and if you send a text to 646-760-8955, if you send a text to that phone number, their robot will send you feet.
Are you actually going to do it, Walden?
Look. Watch. This foot does not exist. This is computer-generated images of feet.
Do I have to put a 1 before the 646?
Better safe than sorry.
Try it both ways, I mean, just in case.
I've heard bad things about that. Both ways. So just feet? What do I send to them?
Nothing. Just a blank text is fine.
Did you test this to make sure it works?
No. I don't want them to have my fucking phone number.
Oh shit, that's a good idea. Hold on. Let me open my Google Voice.
So it's got examples from this person does not exist. And it shows how it has many iterations. Sometimes it renders cats based on line drawings. They've had their computers do that. Or reproduce portraits. This creates foot pics. It says, what is a foot pic? Foot pics are hot, 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 and you love to see them. There's Rule 34 all over this. At their base level, they are pictures of or that contain usually women's feet as a prominent visual element. For our purposes here, we are interested mostly in pics which feet are the central visual element to the exclusion of other parts of the body, but the term can encompass more than this. Feet are, by general scientific consensus, the most common non-sexual body part fetish. Feet pics presence on social platforms is essentially untraceable and originless. So these are computer-generated images of feet.
You did it.
I did it.
So they're not real feet.
They're not feet. They're not real feet at all.
They're not also this not foot, attractive feet in right. any way.
Right. You, yeah, think you get some gnarly ones. No, yeah, this gross. This foot does not exist.
So you're into feet, com. Huh?
No. Oh, it's no. being funny.
It is. It's right in the fucking name, man.
Yeah, but they look real.
That's the idea. They're supposed to look real.
Good doctors can make them look really real.
Get a little sag in there. Perfect.
So thisfootdoesnotexist.com. And I'm not going to repeat that phone number unless you want to, Rich.
No.
They can
and
go
this
to the
is
website.
This is another website.
Is that a mischief?
Provided thing? By mischief. That's right.
Wait, why did you save that one for me?
Because you really liked that game where you had to compare the real photo to the fake one.
Yeah, that's not nearly as cool, but thank you.
It's totally nearly as cool.
Totally nearly as cool.
I did that real, is the person real or not?
Yeah.
In the living room with the wife and kids. And they're like going, real? And I go, no, that one's fake. Like they were 100% opposite of what was actual.
Yeah.
It was pretty wild.
I had some stretches like that too.
Oh, man. Some stretches, like you did it a long time?
Yeah. I told you, I did it for a week at work.
I really got to remember to do this on
Thursday.
You even
put it in overtime.
You have to remember to do what?
Go to mischiefbox.com or go to mischief.xyz. This Thursday was Mischief Box. You can buy option one, which is open the box. You get a Mischief Box that contains an item worth between $0 and $7,000.
Okay.
Or option two, don't open the box. If you mail us back your unopened Mischief Box after 100 days, we'll give you $1,000.
Wow. All right. So, did you find a password out yet?
No.
Has anyone found a password out yet?
I don't know.
All right.
Not that I know of.
All right.
Have you?
Certainly nobody here has bothered.
No, I haven't.
You were trying.
I don't even remember the name of the fucking website.
I don't either.
Zuckwatch.
I remember.
You were trying.
Yeah, while we were recording the show.
Recordificating. All right, so the website of the week is thisfootdoesnotexist.com.
Nor should it.
For all you foot fetish sex doll lovers.
Foot in your ass.
There he goes, talking about sex dolls again.
All right, so
0 days.
0 days, yeah. We went 2 weeks. For Matt, Walden, Rich, Vinny, I'm Craig. Thank you for listening to Shenanigans. Join us again next week.